again, if the Niners were going to make an acquisition at one position, what would it be? 888-957-9570. Dibs, you're looking mainly at interior defensive line. I'm looking at wide receiver, and I'm giving you, we gave a few names, but the one I really love, and I think is just a tremendous fit, is Deontay Johnson of the Carolina Panthers. And I would be happy to part with a fifth-round draft pick to get him here and replace Brandon Ayuk and slow the pressure on Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing and bolster you for any potential games that Deebo Samuel and George Kittle miss so that you could at least still have a receiving core of like Deontay Johnson and Juwan Jennings. That to me, that's a receiving core. That's an experienced group. He's a tough guy. He's played for Mike Tomlin, which tells me he blocks in the run game because they force that there too. I think he's a perfect fit. He's definitely going to get dealt by the Panthers, who are 1-6.
Is there an injury there? Because he's only played three games this year. And
Deontay?
Yeah, I'm looking at ribs, hamstring, ankle.
Yeah, he's dealt with some question marks, but I do think that he has, I think he's played more than three games, if memory serves. He's played in all seven. He's played in all seven. He's got 30 catches for 357 yards, three scores.
Okay.
He has had some questionable tags, but he's played through them. And been able to get through all the games. I think last week he barely had any targets.
Yeah, one catch. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, they played Washington and got blown off the field so fast that there just wasn't anything working. Nothing going on. But talented guy. Talented guy who, if he's on a good offense, can put up numbers. I have no doubt on that. Let's go to Dave in the city. Hi, Dave. You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Just wanted to say, I think the Niners should trade for a wide receiver. The wide receiver I'd go after is Garrett Wilson. You're going to lose Deebo eventually. He's getting long in the tooth, especially the way we treat him, run him into the ground. You could get Garrett Wilson. I don't think he wants to be there and backing up Devontae. And honestly, he's probably the third option after Lazard. And talent-wise, I think he's young. I mean, if you tandem him with Ayuk the next 4 or 5 years, because he just got signed long term. You give up a second, maybe a second next year. We don't do well in the top of the draft.
That's pretty expensive. Let me ask you this though, Dave. You said you don't think Garrett wants to be there. Do you think the Jets in some way are activated to trade Garrett off of their roster, who's still on a rookie deal?
I mean, they're 2-5. If they're gonna lose him, he's gonna walk anyway.
But he's not a free agent.
No.
He's not a free agent. This is still a young player.
It's his third year.
Yeah, Dave,
and
thanks.
They, you know, have a fourth year there, and then they've got a club option for the fifth year. So, and he's making next year, his dead cap is $6.5 million. He's still a very, very cheap player.
Yeah, he's on a rookie deal.
I don't know if they're going to keep Devontae Adams beyond this year. I can't imagine that they will. Devontae Adams' number goes way up next year. And if this year doesn't go well for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers is going to be 41 next year, and you're looking at maybe a reboot of the whole thing. You already have a new coach who you're probably going to have a new head coach next year. Devontae making that much money is probably going to be gone. Aaron Rodgers likely will be gone. So
maybe. I don't know if this is his last year, but I hear what you're saying.
I mean, if it continues to go in this direction.
No, if I'm the Jets, Garrett Wilson is not on the market.
Exactly.
I don't like it. Whether they're 2-5 or not, this is also, you got to look for the teams that think they're out of it and are about to lose the player. Garrett Wilson is not about to be lost. Garrett is signed for, he is under control, as you just said, for two more years. Young player, high draft pick, has put up numbers. I got to think that the New York Jets, one way or another, think Garrett Wilson is their future number one, if he's not their current number one. He got as many targets as Devontae did the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Omari in the city is next up. Hey, Omari, thanks for calling.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
A couple of quick points, possibly, if I can. Mike McDonald, the Miami coach, didn't he call the plays in 2019 for the Niners? Wasn't he the
No, he was the run game coordinator, Omari, and so he was part of the offensive system, but Kyle Shanahan, I don't believe, Grandy, back me up on this. Since Kyle Shanahan joined the 49ers, nobody has called a play not named Kyle.
Except for in the preseason.
And so, yeah.
What I've noticed is that, as a few callers have talked about, I've heard the last couple of days, or how we've seen an OC call plays with Andy there. And I can't recall that Andy was like what we see today with Shanahan right now. I call him Shanahan until he wins. But we've seen the guy, you know, Andy had to learn. You know what I mean? He had McNabb. He had, you know, Mike. He had a lot of guys who can help him win, and he just couldn't get over the hump. And I just think that we're at a point where we're watching the exact same thing. History is repeating itself. And if Shanahan would go ahead and just, you know, suck it up and let somebody else call the play so he can actually coach the game, because I'm sorry, the man can't multitask, and nobody can, really. That's why Andy Reid has success now, and he didn't in Philly. And lastly, I want to say also, I wish that we could not have so many plays that we have tight formations all the time. Even when we're in a three wide receiver set, we have this really tight formation. So what happens is, like what happened with Spags, he was able to disguise his blitzes really easily. And it's like, when can we see some more spread offense so we can actually help Purdy see the field better? You know, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Omari,
thank you, Omari. I like that.
Before you hang up, can I ask you a question? Are you under the impression that Andy Reid does not call the plays in Kansas City?
Well, I say this. I know there was a guy that was calling plays with him on the sideline. We've seen the TV pan another gentleman twice that was calling plays, and Andy was sitting there listening.
That's so Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy.
Thanks, Omari. Appreciate it.
I think his point is one that I've started making a little bit more often. It's a greater point of, you know, role distribution, because Kyle Shanahan, he calls all the plays. He's got the play sheet folded over, he's got his pen, and he's really focused on that, and I think he's great at that. But the bigger picture of being the head coach is something where game management, down and distance situations, other things that maybe he's not as attentive to because he's so locked in on being a play caller.
Yeah, I mean, look, is there an adjustment that's needed if they continue to have trouble whenever there's chaos or they're down? I mean, who wouldn't be open to that conversation at a certain point? Right now, I'm a little bit more focused on personnel than play calling because they're at such a deficit with so many injuries. Here's where my head goes, though, too. He made a comment, and this is just me now, in my opinion about Andy Reid. He said Andy had to go through, and he says Kyle's doing it now. He had to go through that situation in Philly, and he had to learn. And now he has learned. And it's working. My opinion, I don't think Andy learned crap. I think he got pat. I think that's what happened to Andy Reid. Andy got pat. And now Andy's a champ. I think Andy Reid was a phenomenal coach in Philadelphia. And he called plays, and they were very good. And they often went to the NFC title game. And they went to a Super Bowl, and they lost. And Donovan McNabb was good, but he ain't Patrick. So that's sort of just... it's a window into the way, like, that's how I feel about the arc of all this. When people make that comparison of Kyle now to Andy then, I'm sure, if you're awake every day, you learn stuff. So I'm sure Andy learned some things. I don't think he flipped something upside down when he went from Philly to Kansas City. I think he got pat. Because if you look at Andy in Kansas City, do you know what he was doing with Alex Smith? The same stuff he did with Donovan McNabb. Making the playoffs a lot and falling short.
11-5, 9-7, 11-5, 12-4, 10-6, 12-4.
Yeah.
Those are the years before they won the Super Bowl.
And they were good every year, just like the Niners are. Yes.
He went 11-11, 12-12, 13 in five straight years in Philadelphia. He won the NFC once in those 5 years, and of course he didn't win the Super Bowl. So I do think sometimes we get too fixated on the idea of Super Bowl or bust when we judge a head coach, because Andy was amazing in Philadelphia, but he never got over the hump, and that's where Kyle is right now. And I don't know what Andy does differently now versus then. I do know now he's got Matt Nagy, who I don't know who actually calls the plays, but he does have an offensive coordinator, and Kyle doesn't.
He does. Yeah, absolutely. And so, listen, if this all continues, you got to be open-minded to, like, taking a look at yourself. I mean, you know, go back to the visit Jay Gruden had with us right here on this show a few weeks ago when he was open with, like, yeah, the passing concept is not my favorite because it's not great when you're trailing. And you can't just be so good that you assume that you're going to be ahead most of the time, even though the 49ers spend a lot more time ahead than they do behind. Like, that is a fly in the ointment. Even the biggest Shanna fan in the world can't escape that. There is a fly in the ointment. If you can't function when you're trailing, it's a problem.
But it's something that maybe Kurt Warner said. I can't remember. Somebody came on earlier in the year and said, this is how they're built. They're built a certain way.
It was Kurt.
With, you know, multiple tight ends and a fullback, and you run a lot of two receiver sets. You're built to win the time of possession, run the ball, control the ball, lead, and win that way. You're not built, like, when they fall behind, like against Kansas City, forget the fact that you lost Ayuk and Debo had pneumonia and you didn't have Juwan. Forget all that. Even if you had those guys, your offense is not built to go 3 and 4 wide and just let Brock Purdy throw it all over the place.
888-957-9570. If you're going to trade for one position with the 49ers, what would it be? We'll keep taking your calls. So Sushi, Steve, and Jeff and Marin, Cowboy Sal, and guess who's on the line for you, Dibs? It's a day late, but it's not a dollar short.
I can't wait.
Oh, Kurt. Kurt in Hayward Hills is ready to face the music after
runt, that little runt
beat the 49ers.
This guy's a little runt.
Get out of here!
Get out of here
so
with that.
That's right.
That.
So that's all coming up next. Plus, Jerry Rice on the roast yesterday gave his list of wide receivers that he'd like to see the 49ers go acquire. So we can play that for you coming up next. And oh, by the way, a guy named Steve joins us at 5 o'clock. Last name Kerr. Warriors play tomorrow night. NBA season starts tonight. It's Willard and Dibs.
Samarison, kick that little runt. I can't stand that little runt.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Grandy's grades in about 10 or 15 minutes.
I'm excited.
I'm not. This is going to be a whole bunch of Fs.
Actually, you'd be surprised. And I ran through my own grades, and I look forward to comparing them to the real teacher.
All right.
And
all
seeing
right.
Where we land, because I'm normally pretty tough. Not as tough as the Grandy man, but I have a couple that are actually decent.
Why'd your voice just do that?
I don't know, Mark. I don't know. I'm a little tentative.
Okay.
Because Grandy's the real teacher, and so I'm a little bit hesitant. The
couple of spots where they were bad.
26 years in the business, and I'm afraid of a 28-year-old. Yeah. There, I said it.
Oh, gosh. Do you want to hear what the GOAT thinks about who the Niners should acquire?
They should have gone after that runt.
Yeah, no.
Oh, not that GOAT.
No, not that GOAT. No, yeah. Jerry Rice, Morning Roast.
Okay.
I don't know who's going to suit up next week because it's like with all the injuries, you know, McCaffrey, Samuel, Ayuk, Jennings, all of that going on. There are still some veteran guys out there like a DeAndre Hopkins, like, you know, Mike Williams, Deontay Johnson and stuff like that. They might have to bring some other people in. We got to get some guys on the field.
Okay.
So you're stealing from Jerry.
That's my takeaway. That's the first I heard it.
Yeah.
Scout's honor, and I'm not even a scout. So maybe that doesn't work. I swear to God, I have not heard that
you
before.
You got to put up the three fingers if you're going to do the scout's honor.
Which three?
Or it's the two.
Which three?
The index and
can
the...
Can I just put my hand on my heart? You're like, I swear to God, I'd never heard that. I swear... Look at me. Do I lie to you? Do I lie to you?
Do Eurythmics.
Have I ever lied to you before?
Probably, but...
I mean, well, there was that one time I said you look good in that shirt. But,
that was true.
Yeah, like other than that...
So I'm looking at your Twitter, your cute little video earlier, and it's basically mimicking what the GOAT just said.
I had not heard that.
Okay.
I hadn't heard that till literally just now. Grandy is the way he goes, hey, Jerry Rice, I'm putting it on your board. He said something about some receivers. That's all I knew. Swear to God.
If I don't believe you, then it's going to be a long week. So I believe you, Mark.
650 says, swear on the new nuptials. I swear on the new nuptials.
Then I have to believe you. You would not do anything to cross the lovely Christy.
Not at all.
In the nascent days of your engagement.
No.
Nascent meaning new.
I'll say it to her. Hey, lovely Christy, I had no idea what GOAT was about to say there. And I definitely wouldn't lie to her.
That's for sure.
I might lie to you.
Exactly. You know your bread's buttered.
Yeah, not buttered over here. Are you crazy? All right, let's take some more calls
Goat's
on this.
GOAT's right about the receivers, yes! But I still I don't think you need...
But you, yes, you do. You don't need a receiver. You do.
Debo's out of the hospital. Problem solved.
Not problem solved.
Juwan's coming back.
You don't know that.
Well, I don't know that we're even going to be here tomorrow.
I don't even know. I don't know if George is playing. I don't know if Juwan is
ready to go.
Yeah, George is playing.
You don't know that he's got a sprained foot.
Okay.
Dan?
Right, sprained foot.
Yes.
He's been unguardable so far in this league.
And now has a, he missed a game already this year.
Going into a bye, George is going to play. But
all right.
You can go ahead and be a fearmonger.
No.
You can steal from the GOAT and you can monger fear all you want.
Fearmonger, you're probably right, but we don't know that. But I'd argue that even if you do have that, even if you have that, you still need another wide receiver. You can be fully loaded and ready to roll, fully healthy, obviously, other than Brandon, and you are one hit away from turning it over to rookies. I don't think the 49ers should do that this year.
You've got Ronnie Bell and a 10-year veteran in Chris Conley.
Let me say it again. They need someone else. All we've got from Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley this year, one of them's going the wrong way on routes, and the other one drops the ball when it does get to him.
Incorrect. Ronnie Bell with a 10-yard catch, got down to the one, thought he scored, he didn't. Purdy snuck it in, and we got ourselves a new ball game.
Be authentic. Ronnie Bell has been horrible. People do not want him on the field. Chris Conley has been running the wrong way on routes. These two guys are not the answer. They're what you do when it's like in emergency break glass. They are parachutes. That is not... The 49ers still think that they're going to win this division. You're not going Chris Conley and Ronnie Bell.
You can win the division with Chris Conley and Ronnie Bell. The division is a joke.
I disagree. And the 49ers have already been playing like a joke. They've lost to two of those jokes.
And Ronnie Bell made a big mistake in one of them, for sure.
So let's get a real receiver in here to go with Debo and Juwan and play some football when Christian McCaffrey comes back and actually try to win the second half of the season.
How about we get somebody who can actually tackle a ball carrier?
That too. I'm not against your idea. I just want to do... Then let's do both. Let's do both.
Let's go to the phones because I.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's go to the phones because I have my grade already for the skill position players, and it sounds like you're going to be a little harder on them than I will. Well, but go ahead.
I mean,
Granny's going to give them all Fs. He's angry for 28.
Let's go to Jeff in Marin. Hi, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. So do we need help? Yes, obviously. But one of the things that I've noticed, and although I think it's hard to pick this up and see it that well on TV, but our receivers don't seem to be getting open. And that's Ayuk and Debo. And you know, that's the problem, especially given that, you know, in his history, Shanahan was supposed to be the master of scheming plays to get his receivers open. We can't seem to beat man coverage. And maybe defenses have figured that out. Just play man on our receivers, and they're not going to be open. And when they're not open, what happens? Brock's back in the pocket or, you know, looking. There's nothing to throw to, and then he's scrambling or he throws into coverage that's too tight. So I don't think this is so much a Brock Purdy issue as it is what's going on with our receivers and why aren't they getting more open? So I'm kind of curious what you guys think.
Well, Jeff, it's a very, very fair point and topic for sure, and I know it's one that a lot of us are thinking a lot about right now. And it, to a degree, is a little bit of a head-scratcher, except for that you can sort of throw in there, like I know there was this stat running around that Ricky Pearsall had the sixth worst separation of anybody in the NFL over the weekend.
Okay.
So here's why I would debunk that. I'm going to debunk that because he's going against, first of all, the defense that is number one in not allowing separation all year long. That's number one. Number two, I don't know if y'all know this, that was his first NFL game. I'm not doing this with it's game one. Like, who knows what the hell? His head could have been spinning. I'm not going to assess a player after one game, which, by the way, when the ball was thrown to him, he didn't look that bad.
Yeah.
So I think there's intricacies to this every single week. But I heard Baldy say something earlier today on the roast that I thought was an interesting comment, which was that the 49er offense was so good last year. And when you do that to the league takes notice and spends the offseason trying to figure out how to battle you. And they've done it. Like, Spagnuolo gave them a little bit of a blueprint in the Super Bowl. And so teams are going to get really aggressive. They're going to get really in your face. And they're going to play man and see if a young quarterback can handle that. And if receivers who are not speed burners can handle that. Well, adjust.
And I wonder about the idea of scheme, like scheme versus getting open in man-to-man coverage. You can scheme a play all you want, but the receiver has to win.
Yep.
So you can have a great play design, route concepts, and all the rest of it. I'll ask Greg Cosell this tomorrow about, you know, man-to-man being able to get open. The scheme can only do so much. At that point, when the ball is snapped, you can have a great play design, but you still have to beat the guy who is covering you to the spot where you want to get, and that is not something that they were able to do against Kansas City.
And the quarterback needs to see it, and the offensive line needs to give the quarterback time and space. And yes, it's all a beautiful orchestra that needs to come together, and right now is not.
Yeah. And I think scheme-wise, Shanahan's been pretty solid, but if you're going up against man-to-man and you've got cover corners and safeties who are good at covering you and you can't break free, it doesn't matter what the scheme is because if guys aren't open, even the best quarterback isn't going to be able to make that happen.
I do think, and I know this will trigger people, I do think that the scheme will look different if the 49ers line up Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, and George Kittle. And Deontay Johnson.
Well,
suddenly people will be getting open again.
McCaffrey's the biggest one
of course,
as the running back, he is very good at beating man coverage out of the backfield. You can put him in the slot. He's a guy who can get open. He's got an ability to run his routes either way. He can even get deep on you. So, yeah, when you have elite players, it does make it easier, but you're not going to have Ayuk again this year, and Deebo, hopefully he gets over the pneumonia, and Kittle's got the bum foot, and McCaffrey won't play at least for a couple weeks, so you got to deal with it now, Shanahan, as somebody called him earlier. We'll see. This is
possibly
a Dallas team that's not very good.
Oh, God,
By all measurements.
No. Yeah, they're deep. I mean, I almost wish we could play them in Dallas. They give up 40 no matter who the hell's in town. It's incredible. We'll see who's healthy. I think the Niners are going to win no matter who's healthy, because even if it is the backup receivers, at least this time they can plan for it. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Shanahan did not have a good game. Grandy's grades moments away. He did not have a good game. He did not adjust. However, I still think even with your backup receivers, you have a better chance of doing well if you spent all week in practice thinking that your backup receivers were going to play a key role. But they spent all week thinking that Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk were going to play. And then suddenly they didn't. And they knew they weren't going to have Juwan. And so now it's Bell and Pearsall and Cowing, and that's obviously a completely different animal. Okay, let's do it. Here comes Kurt from Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt. Thank you for calling.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks a lot. I just want to say a couple of things to start with. You know, we already know that Purdy probably had his worst game, I think, of his career. I really do. I think that was a terrible game. And as far as the Kansas City quarterback, Durant only ran the ball. He did not pass at all. He just ran over us. And as far as the game's concerned, the offensive and defensive line really gave the game away because they didn't do anything. And even Shanahan said that we got our ass kicked, which was true. But the bottom line is forget about it and move forward. That's what you want to do. You want to forget about this game and move forward. We got Dallas coming up, and we still are going to win that division. It's a weak division. There's nobody in that division that's going to beat us at all.
Really. Kurt, when he ran over Mustafa at the goal line, did it make you feel at all bad about calling him a little runt?
No, it did not. Didn't make me feel bad at all. I still think he's a little runt. I think he scampers around like a little runt.
Thank you, Kurt.
He's always going to be a run. He scampers around a little run. Even the way he talks, he's got no macho in his voice at all. Are you kidding me?
Do you have a nickname for Dak Prescott as we start to get ready for this week?
I think he chokes a lot.
Okay.
I think he's a choking quarterback.
Sir chokes a lot.
That's right.
Little choker. That's great, Kurt.
All right, Kurt.
Kurt, get us ready on Friday with a call back. I appreciate that.
Please call again, Kurt. And you know how Brock has that stat that was so fancy last year with the average yards per attempt?
Yep.
Kurt's average sound clips per call are tops in the league.
Elite.
Kurt, I don't know if you know this. When you call, Grandy leans forward and his fingers start doing things on all the buttons back there because he's literally cutting. So last week we got to get out of here with that. And I knew it the second he gave us this one. Now we've got forget about it. Now we've got that too.
Yeah.
So Kurt, call again and see what cliched soundbite we can come up with again next week.
It's perfect. Yeah. And I mean, you can call him a little runt, and you can say that all he did was run. And I just was looking at the notes, and he only threw it 10 times in the second half because he didn't have to.
Yeah.
So we can hold that against Mahomes all we want, but looking at the last two drives, which were touchdown drives, and I'm seeing three passes on the first one and two passes on the other one. And he was 4 for 5 on those last two drives because he didn't have to throw it.
Yeah, but don't take it at face value. Let Kurt have his nickname for Patrick. It's totally fine.
No, he can have it. He's got no macho in his voice.
Yes, that's true. He does sound like Kermit. He does.
Feels a little bit unfair to judge a man's macho level based on his voice.
And we won the Super Bowl again. Like, okay, yeah, fine.
That's a two.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to. I mean, whatever. What are you looking at me like that for?
You were trying to do a Mahomes, and you got a two.
No, it's a Kermit. He sounds like Kermit. I can't do a Kermit, but he sounds like Kermit.
Your Bosa is better than your Mahomes.
My Bosa.
Well, I just kind of wanted to get my hands on
it. Bosa's because it's almost like Ronald
Reagan. We have
Reagan.
Great energy.
Yeah, it's too cliched. There's too many people doing it. Yeah. I don't want to do it. That's why I want to do Kapler and Bochy, and unfortunately, Bob Melvin needs to do something to be more impersonatable.
Forget about it.
I do 7 impersonations, and they're all the same.
And they all sound like Farhan Zaidi, all of them.
Yeah. Let's get to it.
Let's do Grandy's Grades. Let's go.
How did the 49ers grade out this week? Did they pass? Did they fail? Let's find out. It's time for Grandy's Grades on Willard and Dibs.
All right, time for Grandy's Grades. We've been waiting all day for this moment.
Been waiting all day for Tuesday night. Let's
Kansas
go!
Kansas City 28, San Francisco 18. We begin, as always, with quarterbacks. You guys have already said Brock Purdy's worst game of his career. I agree. For that performance, I gave Brock an F.
I don't even know what to add here. That was an F. That was 3 interceptions. All of them were bad interceptions. 2 of them came at momentous occasions within the game. There were missed throws. Sure, there was a Brandon Ayuk drop, etc., etc. There was the fun sneak where he got in, but yeah, he did the wrong things at the wrong time, and yes, worst performance of his career. How could it not be an F?
It's a D. He had a couple of big, long passes, and he had a couple of quarterback sneaks, a couple of scrambles that kept things alive, and I'm harsh on him for the 3 interceptions, but can't give him a full-on, flat-out F, even though the interceptions came at big moments. I gave him a D.
The 2 41-yard completions would have been touchdowns if he leads his receivers as well. But whatever.
That is a little picky. When people want that to just be perfectly in stride, I just, like, look at Mahomes' throw to Worthy. Hooked it over his head.
Yep.
I'd much rather be underthrown by a yard than overthrown by a yard. No.
If he's open enough, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
If you underthrow it enough, it could be picked off.
Anyway,
whatever.
I gave him an F.
Up next, skill positions, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends for this group. I gave them a C+. Difficult to grade because you have so many guys that in and out of the lineup. Ayuk and Deebo. Deebo hardly even played. Kittle was good. They're going up against one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. Mason wasn't terribly explosive, but was serviceable. C+ for that group for me.
I have what do you think? What's your grade on
B-? B-. And the big demerit for me was the Ayuk drop, which was game-changing. Yeah. And before he got hurt, obviously. And I think that Mason did his level best against a great rush defense. George Kittle counts in this for me, and he was terrific. Pearsall didn't make a lot of mistakes. They didn't make a lot of huge plays, but I gave them a B-. They were pretty solid in the game.
Y'all are soft today, man. George Kittle's performance is the only reason this isn't in the DF range. For me, this is a C-. I thought Jordan Mason was actually hesitant, even though I will acknowledge there were not a lot of holes there. It wasn't great, but Brandon Ayuk, not only a terrible injury, but yes, a terrible drop. I don't blame Deebo for not playing, Juwan Jennings either. And the new guys are the new guys, so I'm not necessarily expecting a whole lot, but if you've got a big stat running around about how nobody's open, nobody's getting open all day, nobody's getting any separation, well, that's your job. That's your job. You got to go get open, and no one got open. It's a C-minus for me.
Up next, we got the offensive line. No sacks of Brock Purdy. Chris Jones, nowhere to be found all game long. Not the greatest running game, as we already talked about, but I thought it was an okay performance. A C for the offensive line.
That feels about, I might even give it a C+, to be honest. Well, you snuck a sentence in there that for me, Dibs, is the one we were all hoping for. Chris Jones, nowhere to be found.
Right.
That had to be the game plan, and at least they did that part.
Yes, but it's a C- for me, in part because of the terrible penalties, the opening drive, yeah. Brendel with a hold, Trent Williams had a hold. You couldn't really run the ball. I know Kansas City has a great run defense, but Brock Purdy had to scramble a few times. They were not remarkable. C- for me.
All right, up next, we go over to the defense. The front seven, it's the down linemen and the linebackers. This was an ugly performance for me. Front seven gets a D+. You look at some of the numbers for the Kansas City offense, it nothing eye-popping, especially on the ground. Kareem Hunt only averaged 3.5 yards per carry, but in the second half, they just salted away that game on the ground. The front seven gets a D+ for me.
I'm going to push that much up more into the C range for me because I'm going to acknowledge that while everything you just said about their second half performance is true, some of that is on the offense because when you're turning the ball over and you're not able to sustain anything as an offense, your defense is going to get tired in the fourth quarter. And I thought they did pressure Patrick Mahomes pretty well. Obviously, he did not throw any touchdowns. They forced him into a couple of turnovers. He's a hard guy to sack, so I get all that. It was not a great performance, but the defense was pretty good for most of this game, so I'll give them a C.
And I do think you have to add in the Kalia Davis batten catch,
which was
a big pivotal moment. You had a Floyd sack. You had a Bosa sack. I gave it a level C. Thought about going higher, but then those last two drives, they just got gashed. So for me, it's just a C.
No doubt. It was worse at the end for the front seven. Up next is the secondary. This is the star of the day for me. I mean, you guys have talked about the last couple of days. That group gets an A for me. Lenore was incredible. Malik Mustafa with a couple of awesome tackles. I know he got ran over by Mahomes at the goal line, but all in all, I'm not sure I can find too much to be upset about for any of the guys that played in the secondary. That group gets an A for me.
That feels a little hot, but they were good. A-, B+, kind of a performance for me. Mustafa gets knocked over at the goal line, even though he made some wonderful plays, and I don't know that even if he didn't get knocked over, Patrick was going to score on that play.
Yeah.
Charvarius Ward kind of got beat, but then caught up to Travis Kelce to break up a pass. Lenore is wonderful. He's been one of the best 49ers all year. So I'll agree with you that was probably the best group on the field. Not quite enough for an A, but just below it for me.
Yeah, B+ for me, and you highlighted all of the great plays. And Lenore with a gimme interception, but he also got that and turned it into about a 35-yard return. And Mustafa's quietly become my third favorite defensive player behind Bosa and Warner. He's fun to watch.
He is very fun to watch. I look forward to every week with him on the field. Up next, special teams. You stopped the fake punt. But you also gave up a big punt return. D-plus special teams. This is kind of a carryover effect from every other week. It's not getting any better.
Also, made a 55-yard field goal. And missed an extra point. Right. So there's the yin and the yang kind of a day. It's not good enough. The special teams, I actually am going to give them a D minus. The only reason I don't give them an F is because of the fake punt stoppage. But I'm also going to factor in that you're not just bad this week, you're bad every week. You're bad every week. Your special teams are an F period this whole season.
Yep. Flat D. You had a 57-yard punt, which turned into a 2-yard net on a 55-yard return. And, yeah, the field goal made was good. The missed PAT turned out to be a crusher because you were down 9 instead of down 8 when they scored.
That's a good point.
Gave them just a straight-up flat D.
That's fair. And last but not least, coaching. a D-minus for me. This would have been an F if there weren't injuries and a change to the game plan the second the game starts. You didn't really see a lot of adjustments in the second half. You saw the Chiefs just kind of control the game on the ground in the second half. Not that the defense was bad by any stretch. D minus for the coaching.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about coaching, we immediately think of Kyle and we think of play calling, but coaching happens on the other side of the ball too. And so the defense, I thought, largely for the most part, they did what you were asking them to do for three quarters against Patrick Mahomes. Certainly kept the team in the football game. So I'm going to give a nod to that. And you make a good point that the offense is just without so many players. So that sort of prevents an F. C minus D plus for me.
It's a flat D, and I do give them points for keeping the defense on the field on that 4th and 1. They learned from their mistake, and they stopped the fake punt, but they made no adjustment defensively in the last 2 drives where they were getting the ball run down their throat. And again, Kyle, at the end of the first half, I don't like what he does with the clock. You had 1 timeout and a 2nd down, and you threw it where if you run it there, you still have control of the run-pass option. I don't think that Kyle makes good decisions with the ball at the end of halves, and ultimately, they didn't look ready. Jerry Rice said as much on the Morning Roast.
Yeah.
You can't come out flat in a Super Bowl rematch. It's a D, Kyle, and stuff.
We are presented by Fremont Bank and Stuff, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Okay, those of you on hold, Dollar Bill and Cowboy Sal, stay right where you are. And if you want the Niners to make a trade, what position? You get one trade. What position? We'll take your calls, 888-957-9570. And Steve Kerr joins us in 17 minutes right here on Willard and Dips.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week, right here on 95.7 The Game.
And P.S., Dibs, I call you Mr. Coin Flip because you win one and you lose one. Back in my good graces. Thanks for not taking a shot, JK.
You're going to be on pins and needles.
Every time you have one of them talk, I'm just like, wait for it. What's the big finish? And that's it. Yeah.
Just as long as the chef doesn't take a shot at me. That's all I...
Oh,
if that happens,
Grady's
I might...
saving that for opening night.
I might go home. If I get a high, this is Steph Curry, and a Dibs, your pick stink, that might break me.
I think he was going to do it. And he told 95.7 The Game, I'll do one thing for you. What do you want it to be? I'll either rip Dibs or call Steiny on his birthday.
Yeah, that's good.
Station said call Steiny.
He made the right choice.
Yeah, so.
And 60 for Steiny. That's a big one. It's a big number.
I could be wrong. Maybe he did both.
I hope not.
I mean, maybe
break my heart.
Wait for the home opener or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, glad you're with us, Steve Kerr, in 10 minutes, okay? But we've been talking out. If you could make one trade at one position for the 49ers, what would it be? I really want Deontay Johnson. I want Deontay Johnson of the Carolina Panthers so bad. I think he fits absolutely perfectly, and the 49ers need to make that happen. Won't be expensive. He's a free agent. Fits perfectly. The wide receiver room needs more. And I'm not saying you have to stop there. Can you make 2 deals? I mean, I don't know how much draft compensation you want to give up. But I hear your point about defensive line. You mentioned linebacker. hell, the 49ers, unfortunately, have a bunch of spots where they could sort of like argue that that they could use another body. Even running back, for crying out loud.
Right.
I don't know that they will, but like even that's not crazy.
We got McCaffrey coming back in a couple of weeks. Well, they seem to signal that, you know, after the bye at some point pretty quickly that he should be ready.
That's the thought right now. Yep.
That's what we've been, you know, getting, gleaning from the comments. So if you do get McCaffrey back, you don't need a running back. Garendo has shown that he can be a good backup. And if McCaffrey comes back, then Jordan Mason becomes the backup. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of a share the load. And honestly, without Brandon Ayuk, I wouldn't be surprised if we see McCaffrey and Jordan Mason on the field together and have McCaffrey go out there and play in the slot.
Why not?
Be a receiver.
Yeah,
he's good
not?
At it.
Why not? I mean, like, we're all asking for more creativity, right? So, yeah, I'm totally into it. Cowboy Sal in San Mateo. Hey, Sal, what's up?
Thank you for giving me time, guys. Love the show. I am a Dallas Cowboy fan, as you can tell. I'll give you my three reasons why Dallas is going to send you to the bye week at 3-5. We're healthy finally on defense. Got Parsons back, Kendricks, Bland, guys that were, you know, just all pros, basically. Number two is Brock Purdy's noodle arm. Come on, you guys both know, we know, watching all these games, Brock's arm is a noodle. He's going to throw a couple picks. And number three, I'll be in the building, section 220. Huh. Let's go, Cowboys.
Sal, was Brock Purdy's arm a noodle when he threw five TDs against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football last year?
Sal.
We were injured.
Oh. You were injured. So that wouldn't have happened if you didn't have injuries.
Hey. And your DBs, I mean, your receivers, come on. They're like, what? What are they run the 40 in? 5'8"? I don't know. Like, our DBs are healthy. We got Diggs. We got Bland. We're ready to go.
Okay.
We're ready to send you to 3-5. And I love listening to your show when you guys list when the Niners lose because it just gives me joy.
Well,
you guys can't trade for anyone that's going to improve your team.
I tell you what. Why don't we make an invite? Why don't we set a Monday call on this show from you? And what would you like to put on the game, Cowboy Sal?
Yeah.
I will give you an open bar tab at Bucky's in San Mateo, California.
Thanks for adding to California.
Open bar tab for you and Dan Dibley.
If the Niners win, Dibs and I get to come to your bar and drink for free the entire night?
I'm going to go ahead. We'll do a half hour, 5 to 8.
From 5 to 8. We're on air till 6, Sal.
Oh. Okay, then we'll go from 10
yeah,
to closing.
We're not giving you our weekend. For God's sakes, we've got family. Sal, what's the matter with you?
You tell me the time, then you get it. You'll get 3 hours of open bar.
3 hours of open bar. How many drinks can you drink in three hours?
I 17. Get the same, though, right?
17. Okay.
What? Get the same?
Not 5, not 7.
Well, I don't have a bar to invite you to. Can I get you a bottle of wine or something?
I'll come to your North Bay.
You're not coming to my house.
I'll come to your bar.
No, I don't have a bar, and you're not coming to my kitchen. Can I get you a bottle of wine?
Whatever you want to give or take, you let me know.
Yeah, do you like wine, Sal?
I'm more of a, if you give me a nice bottle of Beluga vodka, I'm in.
A bottle of vodka. What was the brand?
Beluga.
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 All right. A bottle of Beluga vodka if the Niners lose, and then 3 hours of free drinking for both Dibs and I and our entire families if the Niners win.
Yeah, not an entire family. You and Dibs.
Don't make me bring Hurricane Gale now.
I was going to say,
most
of our families are underage.
Hey, Dibley, I'm just going to let you know, Raider Vito is a friend of mine, so he might be there for the open bar tab.
You and I both know that Raider Vito is a one-and-done guy. He's kept on a very tight leash in the homestead, but thank you.
I'm kind of a one-and-done guy myself,
Raider Vito did win $690 playing penny slots on one of our March Madness trips.
That's incredible.
Facts, not that he remembers.
Sal, do you guys make a good Manhattan or a good old-fashioned?
They have barrel-aged Manhattans. They got whatever you want. Whatever you want, we have.
Okay. All right. You, dude, if you don't call Monday,
dude,
then don't ever call again.
I can't wait to call Monday when Brock does like 300 sessions, Bland pick six, Diggs pick six. We're going to put you guys into the bye week, 3-5. Book it.
Listen to me, Sal.
Don't make me have Kurt call you from the Hayward Heels.
Listen, you little runt.
Forget about it.
Totally.
Double digits, Sal. The Niners are going to win by double digits.
Hey, I'm going to end this for double digits. Dallas, big.
It's a nice uptick, Sal. Right. Thank you.
See you later, Sal.
Bucky's in San Mateo, 4.3 stars on Yelp.
Buck you, Sal.
Whoa, easy.
Bucky's.
The great Raider Vito.
Uh-huh.
Former producer of a show that I worked on back in the day. And he actually worked for the Raiders for a long time.
Okay.
Before they up and went. He was the television producer of like some of their magazine shows, Raider Vito. One of the good ones, Mark.
Tell you what, there's nothing better than a bunch of fans talking trash for two teams that neither one of them are over 500.
Right.
Good times.
We're going to knock you into submission with our 2-5 record, you little runt.
Let's go to Dollar Bill, who is also in the city. Hi, Dollar Bill. What are you doing?
Talking trash from another big fan of a team that is going nowhere fast.
Oh, boy.
Big Jets fan here.
All right.
And actually, that's actually what I was going to talk about. But just to get back to Cowboy, whatever the hell his name was.
Sal.
The only thing that got, Cowboy Sal, the only thing that got injured last year with the Dallas Cowboys was their egos when they got blown out by you guys at home. So, anyway, but I got an idea on how to fix your offense. Get Mike Williams, because we got too many wide receivers, and Aaron Rodgers can't hit any of them anyway. So, might as well go to a place where he can be used, and you can probably get him for a song, because we got more wide receivers than we know what to do with.
Mike Williams is going to be on another team by this weekend. I will predict that, Dollar Bill, and he is on my list. He's not at the top of my list, Dollar Bill, thanks. But he's on my list. I think Mike Williams, that's not a terrible idea. That's better than not doing anything at all at that position, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think doing nothing at that position is just fine. I believe you have enough in the wide receiver room when you get Deebo Samuel back from pneumonia, and he's been released from the hospital, which is good news and a good start. I do think that Juwan Jennings will be ready to go with the hip sooner, if not later, which is also good news. And Ricky Pearsall, you drafted him for a reason, and it's time for the rookie to step forward, because unlike some professional sports coaches, I actually like young players.
Yeah, it's easy now. Steve Kerr, moments away.
Can't we joke around anymore?
No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't.
That's right. No, you don't. No, you don't. I got Steve's back. He knows that.
You are listening.
Come on.
To 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealers.